Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Amico International Shipping first quarter 2017 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Marco Fiori, CEO of Amico. Please go ahead, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our quarterly call. This is for commenting the results of Q1 2017. I would like to add that we're very pleased with the results, and we'll share with you why we're so pleased about the results. Okay, let's start from page three. The Q1, the daily spot rose 32% compared to the previous six months, reaching a level of $13,363. Our EBITDA goes of $16.5 million, which represented $1.7 million higher, not compared to last quarter, but compared to the together of the last two quarters. Therefore, we had a net profit of $1.8 million. Why this came in, as you can see there, strongly trade market, which is normal. The EBITDA of $16.5 million, 24.8% marginality, very strong. $1.7 million, as I told you, compared to the previous six months. We also sold two of its own MRs in Q1 2017 that were targeted for sale in Q4 2016, generating a gain on disposal of $2.7 million and net cash effect of $5.2 million. Three further MR vessels are currently under sale negotiation and expected to generate a net cash in excess of $15 million. Spot TC, the Q1 spot rate was $13,363, significantly lower than in Q1 2016, $18,076, but much higher than both than the rates in Q4 2016 and Q3 2016. Those two quarters, as you can see, they were in the range of $10,000 a day. We can see that the market has been improving, and what is also more important, we see this momentum shifting also in Q2 2017. Coverage TC, this had 41.2% of its total employment in Q1 2017, covered through TC contract, and the average rate of these TCs was $15,908, compared to $46.7, $15,706. There is less, but at a higher level. Daily TC, the combined of the spot plus the TC, is $14,412, which compares to the $16,970 of Q1 2016. If you want to move to page four. Page four is our list of ships that has not changed dramatically. 53.8 product tankers, all IMO, 70% IMO, and an average age of 7.8 years. Long-term vetting approvals from the main oil majors, and we have done 22 new buildings since 2012. Let's go to page six. Rates and asset value. You can see here, from a historical point of view, the rates, TC and spot rates, you can see that we are down at the bottom of the cycle. There was a big turnaround in Q4, mid of Q4, and we're continuing on that turnaround. The one-year TC, as you can see, follows very strictly the spot rate. It's something that they are kind of an interpolation of the spot TC. Asset value, same discussion. You can see came down dramatically, but now it's starting to peak up again, which is what we're expecting to happen. We feel that this bottom has been reached in Q4 2016, and since then, we've been slowly climbing out of it, starting to reach some interesting levels. On the market overview on the demand, you can see that there is a compounded average of growth of 4.1% in the last year, so this is still growing. In the chart on the bottom, which is kind of interesting, you can see that the mix between crude and product is slowly but steadily shifting in favor of products. Where from 25%, now we're moving to 35%. This is a big change, and it's mainly from one of our main drivers, which is the fact that refineries are being built next to the wells, not no longer to where the crude gets refined. Page eight. Refinery margin 2015 brought to a very strong increase. On the product stock, we rose from a low of 133 billion barrels in December 13 to a peak in August 16 of 1.58 billion, which was one of the main causes that the market started going back to lower levels. However, since then, the stocks have been falling by 80 million barrels to a low of 1.5 billion barrels in December 16. Then it's been rising to 1.54, but it started going down again with a new trend down to 1.52. We all believe that the stock has to come down in order to reestablish a positive market. You can see that right away, as soon as stocks are going down, there's been a pickup in the market. So this is also very positive that we're starting to see this trend. On the supply side, on the growth in refinery capacity and oil demand on page 9, you can see here additions are still continuing to be made, and there is a trend that's starting to grow up, to crawl up until 2021. 2018 should be going down, and then starts picking up again. Where are these refineries being built? You can see the pie chart next to it on the right side, and you can see that a big part of this pie chart is in the Middle East, big part is in China, and then you have also some Africa and other countries. What has been diminishing, and you can't see it here, is mainly the European refineries. But this trend is very positive for us, because you can see that China and the Middle East will be absorbing a lot of crude in order to be refined. On page 10, we can see here that European refining capacity, what we're just discussing, is been going down. This has been a trend that's been continuing. And the refining margin in US Gulf and in Europe, the cracking margin, is starting to re-widen again. So this is, again, a positive thing. Europe is still one of the largest refining regions, but capacity and throughput are on a sharp downward trend. So we still refine a lot in Europe, but the trend is really going down quite quickly. IMO 2020 deadline limiting sulfur in marine content to 0.5% is going to create more difficulties for European refiners, which tend to be older and serve for producers of marine fuel oil. Is expected a further reduction of European refineries because they are totally uncompetitive, and it mainly they are kept. The only thing supporting them at this point it is local legislation for social reasons to keep them open. On the supply side, fleet growth. I think you can see here a chart that very well gives you an idea how ships have been having a very tame growth in the past. Age profile of Handy and the MR fleet is still clustered mainly in the less of 15 years. There is a portion, about 6% in more than 20 years, but this is going to be scrapped kind of easily. So we have less delivery, and every year that goes by, the worldwide fleet is getting 1 year older. That's for improving our position. If we look at it a little bit more close, we look at 2017, page 12, you can see that the deliveries have been going down dramatically. However, in the first 3 months of the year, 89 MRs were supposed to be scheduled. First 3 months of the year, a good part of them have been already leveled. Then there is other estimations, like the one of Affinity Shipping, that part of the ships who had to be built in 2017 will not be delivered. So this should also be tightening up the supply. Planned deliveries, second half of 17, 5 vessels per month. If we look, basing ourselves on current orders, by 2017, MR deliveries in 2018 will be half of it. So you can see really a very strong stop of the deliveries. If you look at the next page, especially the chart on the right, that gives you an idea of the orders for MR and Handys. It is a 10-year low. you see there is an abysmal diminution of number of ships that to be delivered. In 2013 were ordered 225 ships. So far in 2017 only 5 ships have been ordered. The chart on the left gives a little bit another reason why there's less new building activity, because you can see that taking a new ship and depreciating it on 25 years on a straight line, the points between at 5 years, 10 and 15 years, a second-hand ship is always more competitive than a new building. So this is also one of the factors which is kind of slowing down the rhythm of orders of new buildings. The second reason is that there is less liquidity in the market, less bank financing these kind of projects, second-hand ships. So this is creating a big gap between second-hand and brand-new ships. Supply versus demand. Here you can see the comparison with the one-year TC rate, the fleet growth, and the product seaborne trade. You can see how the fleet growth tends to drop completely, and the one-year TC rate follows very much that the rate, but we should see it a little bit picking up on the fact that with no growth, TC rate should be picking up. So far it's been following it, but we feel that there is counter-cyclicality there that could be going up. Page 15, just to give you an idea of what the world thinks of us. You have here an investment bank, an analyst, and another bank looking at what they think. As you can see, all three of them in the most recent analysis are very bullish on our segment. And so are we, because if you remember during Q4 discussion, I told us we felt that the bottom has been reached, there was an inversion of the trend, and this is what actually happening. On the financial results and the new building program, how is it being developing? I think Carlos Di Mottola can give you a little bit of more of a feedback on that.
Yes, hello to everyone. So this is the usual slide we present here to summarize the situation for our new building program. There are almost $200 million in investment left, of which we have committed bank lines, which we will be able to draw down based on the current market values of the vessels of $136.5 million, and the rest, $60.8 million, we will have to finance through equity, which implies that we have 69% of the remaining capex that can be financed through bank debt. These estimates are updated regularly to reflect the most recent estimates of the market values of the vessels to be delivered. So there's still an important part of our new building program, which we have to complete. It was originally $755 million in investment. Now, as I was stating before, it's just under 200. 6 LR1s still to be delivered out of the 22 vessels that were ordered originally. If we look at the coverage for the remainder of 2017, we are at only 29%. That is significantly lower than what we aim to achieve usually, of between 40 and 60%. That is because the current TC rates that can be achieved, we feel, do not justify locking our vessels on long-term contracts. So we prefer to be a bit more exposed than we would usually aim for to the spot market. Coverage goes down in 2018, although the average rate goes up from 15.7 in for the remainder of 2017 to 16.100. It is not what we targeted, but nevertheless, this 30% coverage in 2017 should help us, as it has done in the past, if the market is not as good as we expect. Although we are quite positive on the outlook for the second part of the year, and especially for 2018. So we feel that the spot exposure in 2018 could actually be very beneficial for us, because it will allow us to benefit from the recovery, expected recovery in rates. In terms of financial position and its ratio relative to fleet market value, the situation is pretty stable relative to December 16. The net financial position is of $528 million, and it was more or less at the same level as at the end of last year. Fleet market value also has remained pretty stable. We actually saw a lower decrease in market value than what would be warranted given a depreciation in vessel values. So implying that the market has slightly picked up since December 16. We invested in the quarter $27 million, and as previously mentioned, we sold two MRs through which we generated a profit on disposal of $2.7 million, and a net cash effect after reimbursement of the loans on these vessels of $5.2 million. Looking at the financial results, once again, $1.8 million net profit for the quarter. If we exclude the result on the disposals of the vessels, that would imply a small loss of $900,000. Nevertheless, we did have exceptional off-hires in the period. The off-hire days as a percentage of the available vessel days for the quarters was of 3.6%. In Q1 16, it was at 1.8%, and it's usually around 2% for our vessels. These exceptional off-hires due to dry docks and but due to other commercial issues penalized us, and they led to what we could classify as non-recurring losses of around $900,000. So it would exactly offset the loss, the operational loss in the period, and we would have reached a break-even operational result, even excluding the disposal of the vessels. It's also important to note, in any case, that there was an improvement in the trend relative to Q3 and Q4 16, and that the EBITDA generated in the period is greater than the sum of the EBITDA of the previous two quarters, and that is mostly thanks to the improvement in the spot rates that our vessels achieved. And if we go to page 21, we actually see in detail that they achieved an average daily result on the vessels on the spot market of 13,360, which is 32% above Q4 16 when we were at 10,100. So this is still not a strong result, but it's definitely an important improvement relative to the last quarter. The total blended result, including the TC coverage, which for the period was at 15,908, is of 14,400. And as I was previously saying, that is very close to our break-even overall break-even cost for the period, resulting in a break-even result, operational result, even excluding the disposal, the profit on the disposal of the vessel. Finally, if we look at the NAV evolution, we see that it is pretty stable relative to December 16. It was at $222 million then. It is estimated as at the end of March at $214 million. At the end of the period, our shares were trading at the 33% discount to NAV. And then I pass it over to Marco, who will explain why it is an interesting idea to invest.
Well, you know, I think it's very clear that these points have been hammered over and over since we had always this conference call. They tend to be the same because we feel we're doing the right strategy, and especially we have a young fleet which has been made at attractive, very attractive prices and at top yards. Of all our orders, the market came off. Now we are back at the prices that we have paid our new buildings and probably a little bit more. So, you know, this side has been already taken care of. First in-house technical management that provides long-term charters, and we're able to benefit from regulatory charters changes having this the first in-house, first-class management. We invested in MR1 and MR2. Now we have invested for the first time in Iraq. MRs are the workhorses of the market, but now also the LAR are becoming very tradable ships. So we think that these are segments of the ones we would like to do. Prudent commercial strategy, we always try to maintain a certain coverage between 40% and 60%. International reach with chartering offices in three continents. We have New York, we have Singapore, London and Monaco, so they're all always at all time open, and Dublin open, and this is more or less tracks the market how we're doing it. Strong banking relationship, very, very strong banking relationship. This has allowed us to have credit at very strong terms, and especially an abundance of it. So we have had excess of funds and at very competitive terms. Discount of 33%. At the end of Q 117 on the NAV, very discounted, therefore letting sink that it could be a big rise of the share, bringing the NAV more in line with our peers. So, market fundamental, as we discussed, refineries moving, these are all very good market fundamentals that hold very much the interest in our shares. Last but not the least, as you know, we're here also talking because we have been doing this capital increase for 35 million euros with the warrants attached and so on and so forth. I think that this, Carlos, as CFO, can illustrate you better this how it's been developed, this increase of capital, how is it going, and what are the next steps. Thank you, Carlos.
Yeah. So we launched the offering on the 24th of April. It is open until the 18th of May. The 12th of May is the last day of trading of the preferential subscription rights on the stock exchange. They will then be traded over the counter, and the 18th of May is the long stop date for payment to the company and settlement of the issue. The issuance price is of 0.249 euros per share, and for every 3 shares owned, preferential subscription rights owned, you'll be entitled to 1 new share and 1 warrant attached. So the exercise of the preferential subscription rights will bring into the company's coffers 34.9 million euros. We are sure of this amount because we have a commitment from the controlling shareholder to subscribe to 100% of the capital increase. We expect a good turnout from all the investors, not only the controlling shareholder, but nonetheless, if that were not to happen, we still have this guaranteed amount because of this commitment of the controlling shareholder. The number of shares that will be issued is of 140.25 million, and the maximum dilution is of almost 25% upon the full exercise of the preferential subscription rights. The warrants, they are one of the most attractive features of the offering, the warrants which are attached, because they can be exercised over 5 years. At increasing exercise prices, but exercise prices which were set very low relative to where the stock price was when we defined the terms of the offering. And as of today, the first strike price of 0.315 is below where the share price is trading. So it's already in the money. All of the warrants could be in theory if the share price will remain at this level already be exercised at a profit at the first window. The maximum cash that will be raised through the exercise of the warrants rises in line with the increases in the strike prices, of course, and assuming all of the warrants are exercised at the last window, the fifth window, that will bring into the company 59.6 million euros in additional capital. And the total dilution, if all of the warrants are exercised, would then rise to almost 40%. Of course, this is a theoretical dilution for a shareholder that doesn't participate in the offering. We structured the offering in such a way that it meets what are the requirements of the company, but also we tried to make it attractive for the investor, and we tried to make it fair for the investors, for the smaller investors which might not be able to participate. So we priced the offering at a relatively low discount to the closing share price the day before we set the terms. But we did it in such a way that through the warrants we provide some attractive incentives for investors to participate in the offering and possibly for additional capital to be raised for the company. And I think it's important to stress that the commitment by the controlling shareholder is a strong testament to its positive view of on the company and on the product tanker market, the fact that it is prepared to subscribe to 100% of the capital increase.
I think that will be it. I hope there are some questions. I'm sure we covered a lot of ground. Let us know if there are any questions. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Luigi De Bellis with Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon to everybody. Three questions for me. The first one is on current trading. Could you give us some indications about the trend of spot rates in April and May? What do you expect for Q2 and all 2017, also in terms of seasonality? The second question is regarding the products inventories in US and OECD countries. US gasoline inventories increased last week and are near the upper limit of the average range. In general, this trend is progressing in line or worse than expected in our view. When do you expect there can be a normalization, and how the situation is impacted your industry and how can affect the next quarters? And the last question on the free cash flow generation, assuming spot rates are flattish at Q1 level on full year 2017, could you give us some indication about net debt position expected by year end, ex potential disposal, or the change of net working capital expected by year end? Thank you.
Look, Luigi, these are all very technical and good questions. I think the toughest ones probably leave them to Carlos. I can tell you how we see the market. The market, we see it improving. We start seeing back 13,500, 14,000, some trips much better. So I think in general it's a better atmosphere. So for Q2, I think there should be better results than Q1. And in general, 2017, I've always been saying that probably will not be as bad as people expected. I will not be unreasonable to see a quarter between the $14,000 and $16,000 a day. I've been repeating this, so I'm kind of happy to repeat it again because it's happening. So that's a good thing. Carlos? on the stock that's building up in the States?
Yeah, I think that, you know, you have to look at the full picture. You cannot only look at one region, and even looking only at your OECD countries is only giving you a partial picture in any case of the situation. We do look only at the OECD because that's where it is easier to find updated data, which is quite recent and therefore relevant. It gives an indication. It is true that when we did mention that the stocks did rise very much up to August last year, that did have a dampening effect on refinery activity. And therefore, as we know, because of the very strong correlation between the refinery throughput and demand for seaborne transportation, it did affect also demand for seaborne transportation, which nevertheless grew by more than 4% last year. So that's important to point out. In a year where refinery throughput increased by only 0.6%, we had volumes transported in our vessels increasing by more than 4%. So if that had been a normal year with refinery throughput increasing by 1 or 1.2%, and more in line with historical average, that figure could have been even significantly higher. Now, looking on the month-to-month volatility, I believe it's not very significant. There is a lot of there's a lot of noise in these figures. There was an increase in January, it is true, quite a big increase of 40 million barrels. Then we saw another drop of 20 million barrels in February. We still don't have the figures for March, end of March, but my understanding is that there was a further drawdown. As consumption rises, it is natural for product stocks to rise, and they should be measured as a percentage of forward consumption, not in absolute terms only. We feel that another further correction in stocks would be welcome to set the stage for healthier growth in refinery activity. Nevertheless, there are many other factors that can influence refinery activities, and the first one is the oil price itself and what will happen there. And so there could be unexpected positive surprises and negative surprises, and that makes it, that's one of the on the short term, it is very hard to make predictions. What we can say is that on the long term, the fundamentals look very good. Still healthy demand in oil consumption expected this year. The capacity additions are still at a very healthy level over the next, although there was some reduction in investments because of the decrease in the oil price, it's still 7 million barrels of refinery capacity expected to be added until the end of 2022. A lot of that, a higher percentage than previously, is actually going to be added in the Middle East and Asia. Now we are at 82% of the new refinery capacity is going to be added in this country. So a lot of that is also going to be export driven. And that will increase the volumes transported and the ton miles, and that will be beneficial for our sector. So, and as we previously mentioned, on the supply side, the things are looking good, at least for the next 18 months. Then, of course, new orders can always come in. So I wouldn't focus too much now on the short-term analysis of the product stocks. It was interesting to see what happened because it was useful to explain the exceptional results of 2015 and the subdued results in the second half of 2016, but not much can be, I think, evaluating the monthly changes cannot really help us, I believe, predict how the market will evolve over the rest of the year. So that is my answer for the product inventories. On the net debt side, what we can say is that at the end of last year we announced we had 5 vessels held for sale. 2 of these were sold. We are working on the other 3. very firm negotiations on two of these. And there are some other news on the pipeline that we are going to be sharing with you in this respect very soon. But we are working hard to address our funding needs, and together with the capital increase, and especially given the commitment of the controlling shareholder, we don't feel that is an issue.
Okay, thanks, Carlos.
Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. Gentlemen, the next question is from Matteo Bonizzoni with Kepler. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have a question as regards the fleet addition. I have in front of me the presentation of the capital increase that you issued in 2012, in which also at that time, let's say the fleet addition projected over the next 2-3 years was quite limited, and instead the story proved at the end of the day quite different. So this time, what makes you confident that you will not repeat this scenario? Thanks.
Quite different in the sense that we order more ships.
Yes, if I look at the chart that you presented at that time for 2013-14-15, well, you can describe now what are the differences between now and then, but also at that time you presented some charts about a very limited fleet addition or a strong decline in the fleet addition over the next 3 years, and then we have seen actually that some opportunistic players in a few months have placed huge orders over 2013, 14, and so on. And so at the end of the day, the number of addition proved much above what you presented at the end of 2012 in those slides. So this time, because this is clearly a very important issue to understand if the market is not is going to rebalance or not. No, so what makes you confident about the fact that this very limited order book will not increase, let's say, over the next couple of years, particularly if the rate should recover? What makes you so confident that we will not have an opportunistic player placing order for new ships, and so we will go towards another round of engulfing market, let's say, that is what we had over 2016 particularly. So just to understand what is different now compared to 2012. Thanks.
Okay. First of all, I think that was that kind of world, and today we're living in a different world, and every day changes. In those days, you had the beginning of the eco vessel trend, so there was a rush of ordering eco vessels in those days, which today we do not have. In those days, you had yachts in much better shape with much more free berth that today you don't have. Yachts are suffering, they can't build below cost, and they still have some of the berths that are kind of full. As a matter of fact, you can start thinking about the river ships that ordered today by mid of 18, probably 19. Furthermore, I think that in general, you can see that today's prices of second-hand ships are much lower. There's kind of an arbitrage in their favor compared to newer ships. Therefore, people, if they go and buying, they'll be buying second-hand and not new buildings. And fourth reason, but this I really doubt, is that we all learn something from the past, and we all stop ordering together and then starting complaining when everybody has ordered that the ships get delivered.
Okay, thanks.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
No more questions?
Gentlemen, would you like to add your final comments to conclude the conference?
No, thank you very much for listening. Look, I'm very pleased how the quarter went. We're back in the black, but especially we're back in the black with a good reason. There was a turnaround when we tended to predict should have been. So I think our next call is going to be for Q2, and we see a Q2 that's continuing this recovery, so the market should continue to improve. I hope that things will develop the way I've been seeing them, i.e. a constant series of prices going up in the next for the next 2-3 years. So if this happens, we're really placed very well. We have a very good position in the Rheinmetall segment market. Thank you very much, and talk to you for the Q2 call. Thank you. Bye-bye.